Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon as we head into a season-defining, dare I say, season-altering showdown between the New York Yankees and your Boston Red Sox. Four games at Yankee Stadium in New York, which could decide the fate of your local baseball team.
The universe.
I don't know about the universe, but the baseball universe here in Boston, because you're starting to kind of scuffle a little bit. The Yankees are starting to take off a little bit. And, oh, by the way, we're in August, where there are plenty, I can tell you, plenty of doubters on the text line and in this town that wonder, oh, are Alex Cora's Red Sox going to do the same old August thing and fall on their faces and fall out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I've seen this movie before. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's pressure, but you know, you're a major leaguer. There's always pressure every night. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I would advise the Boston Red Sox to treat these four games like a sprint, not a marathon, to get to the finish line on Sunday with worst case scenario, two wins. Best case scenario, obviously, four wins. A sweep would be massive. What you can't do, you can't lose the series. You can't lose this series after what you've just done in the stretch against the Marlins and the O's. And what the Yankees are doing, they've won five in a row. They look healthy. They look like they might hit a gazillion .5 home runs over the rest of the season. 14 in the last two games. And
wait, how many?
14. Yeah, 14.
That wasn't in a series. That was over two games.
Two games, 14, tied a record, 14 home runs. I believe they set a record for back-to-back games with multiple players hitting multiple home runs or some SID number. They're raking. They're crushing the ball. I said it earlier, Giancarlo Stanton looks like he's turned the clock back a few years, not just with his power, but hitting for average. Obviously, Aaron Judge is back healthy and crushing the ball again. And then you have the Red Sox, who are fresh off, as you like to say, Fitzy, not one, not two, but three bases-loaded situations to win a baseball game where they could not score a run. They went 0-for-13 with runners in scoring positions. So to say,
that's not good.
To say that these two teams bring very different and polarizing momentum into this series would be an understatement. So therefore, Fitzy, I'm optimistic about the series for one simple reason, as I just told Mego in the crossover. When you go to the RMV and you have a great experience, not a good experience, a great experience.
You trying to get them to sponsor afternoons or something?
I would take the RMV. I don't know if they sponsor things, but if the RMV down in New Bedford wants to sponsor afternoons on WEEI, happy to do a deal with you guys. Window number 8 lady, you were absolutely awesome helping me.
Didn't catch a name on that one?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't
just
ask.
Window 8.
Just window 8, very nice woman.
Patty, Diane,
whatever,
Leslie.
Something.
Hey, you got right down to business. I can't fault you for that.
In and out. It was an in and out situation. And
a lot of people have said that about Andy.
I am thankful about that. So that gives me an optimism for the rest of the day. And I'm going to choose to take that into tonight's game between Lucas Giolito, who we learned the other day, Fitzy, is a massive human being when we saw him in person.
Haas unit. Super bro, X-Man, whatever you want to call him, just an absolute specimen. And also a good-natured guy with a broadcast-quality voice, plus fastball, and a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, a dork, too. I think he may be lining up for a future dork pod appearance with our buddy Rich Keefe. But yeah, I'm choosing to bring optimism into this series, Fitzy. What is your mental, emotional state as you embark on these four games down in New York?
Anxiety, my resting state, generally most of my waking days in the midlife, anxiety. I'm very, very anxious because, as I referenced yesterday, I can remember many Augusts prior where the Red Sox were playing well-ish, but teetering on a possible breakdown, if not complete and utter meltdown. And it was a long series against the Yankees that was the deciding factor. Back to 2006, it was a five-game series. Dan, how many of those games did the Red Sox win in that fateful five-game series back in 2006?
You know, en route to a 9-21 month of August, they won zero of those five.
Zero. They needed to win like two to kind of sort of keep their heads above water, Andy, but they couldn't. You can't be headed in more opposite, polarizingly opposite directions. With the Red Sox losing a head-scratching three games in a row, health in the balance, players getting DFA'd, guys getting called up that are hardly impact bats. You've got a fatigued bullpen. You got starters that have not necessarily been lighting the world on fire since the dog days of summer. I'm a little anxious. But listen, once again, split the series. You take the season from the Yankees so that if it comes down to some sort of tiebreaker or deciding factor for who gets home field, and the Red Sox are a significantly better home team than road team this year, then, yeah, you got to split this series. But I'm very anxious that the Yankees are looking for payback now that it's 5-1 Red Sox on the season. Wouldn't they just love to bury the Red Sox this weekend and all those freaking, you know who I'm talking about, people in right field.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed offensive, but whatever. We'll go with it.
I'm fine with it.
It's rivalry
okay.
Week.
They can call. It's rivalry week. Yeah, oh, Yankees.
We'll also get into, by the way, it's Boston versus New York on multiple sports fields
it's
tonight.
Big day, yeah.
Because the Patriots will close out the preseason against Jackson Dart and the Giants down in New York. So
he'll make this game watchable tonight because I, for one, am very intrigued to get a firsthand glimpse at the future of New York. They might be football giants and see if this kid is going to turn that offense out because they got some playmakers down there. And if that kid who shares a name with someone in your family that likes to play football is any good, might be a little something going on down there with Dayball and company.
He's a fun player. And certainly, as I said, in the crossover with Mego, a lot of guys fighting for jobs and careers tonight, even if you're not going to be overly excited about the top of the roster and the names you see out there. There's going to be passionate football being played for four quarters as guys do their best to either stick around with the teams they're on now or, as the players will tell you, get it on tape and hope that somebody will claim them or sign them down the road. But for the Red Sox and the Yankees, does it ease your anxiety, Fitzy, if I tell you the good news is the Red Sox got their best four pitchers going in this series, closed out by Dustin May, who, yes.
Chapman and Whitlock are starting?
No. I'm talking about their best four starting pitchers, Fitzy.
Sorry.
They'll probably need those guys to help them win
several
some
times.
Of these games as
yeah,
well.
Some high, very high leverage situations, yes.
And I did want to touch on something you've referenced along the course of the season. Sort of a running joke line slash actually did take place. Ramon Vasquez, when he had his multiple couple stints there because Alex Cora was at a graduation and then was ejected as the manager. Yeah. And he managed like it was October. And he managed like every inning mattered, like every game mattered. Do you think that is how the Red Sox will and or should manage these games? Have we reached that point where forget about Sunday, you need to win Thursday. Forget about Saturday, you need to win Friday, where you manage to win the game at hand and then worry about the next day?
If Alex Cora and the Red Sox don't manage every game like they need to win that night's game and there's no game tomorrow, then I think they would be doing a disservice to their team, to their fan base, and most importantly, to their postseason chances. There, how many times? Oh, we'll get them next time. Like, there's been a little bit of a, we got a lot of baseball games left over. We'll get them tomorrow mentality to the season. Again, it's 162 games, but the Red Sox, they're 9 games over 500, and they do have like what, a game and a half or 2 games up over Kansas City for the final wild card spot. Okay, good, but that can go away real quick. 1-4 game sweep at the hands of the Yanks, and another team can just be nipping at your heels, tied with you. And they will not have the stink of a sweep at the hands of the Yanks, nor that reverse momentum, the wrong kind of momentum. You need to try to, you got to do everything you can. And you have to hope that, you know, Cooper Criswell, who we've sadly learned is now going on the IL in Worcester because of elbow inflammation, he's not coming to the rescue anytime soon. Are you going to have to lean on Richard Fitz? All right. whatever you're going to do. Call up some of the guys. I don't care. Do anything you have to do. You need to take a Vasquezian approach to each and every one of these games, for sure. It's blank cutting time, guy.
And as much as we say the Red Sox are 5-1 against the Yankees this year, because they are. They're 5-1 and have scored 35 runs, so you know almost 6 runs a game. The over might be a strong consideration when you consider they've also given up 27 runs in those.
It's not
six
a massive
games.
Differential.
So you're looking at potential 5-4 games or 6-4 type games, which I think everybody would take at this point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking in the back room, Dan Ball and I, about the Yankees and what they look like on paper versus what you look like on paper. Because obviously the Yankees, when you say Judge, Stanton, Bellinger, like they have some talent on that roster that is, you know, in the midst of very impressive long careers, right? You know, MVP caliber talent. And the Red Sox don't have as much of that. Like you're looking at either the youth movement or some of these guys that have platooned their way at various points into the year being key cogs on this roster. But I also think the Yankees at their best are better than the Red Sox. I just don't know how often the Yankees are at their best, right? They invested in that bullpen, and it immediately imploded coming out of the trade deadline. Like, I think the Yankees, we talk about the home field advantage that the Red Sox have. I think the Yankees have a home field advantage. They're good at home. I also think there's a New Yorkian angst where sometimes there's this weird negative pressure on the Yankees in the Bronx. And I think you need to pounce on that. You need to not only bring your own energy, but try to create an environment where Yankees fans are like, wait a minute, are we going to keep losing to the Red Sox? Are we going to not do what we're supposed to be this year?
They our daddies?
Right. And I think you need to pounce. I think this is a huge series for certainly don't do the crap where you give up 3 runs in the first inning. And how about we pounce on somebody and try to put some crooked numbers up early? Because I think these games, the emotion and the energy of these games is going to be decided very early on.
Oh, wait. I like this. Go on with this. That the Red Sox can, they certainly can't just like emotionally bank on the idea like, hey, we're 5-1 against these guys. Relax. We'll pull out of this 3-game tailspin where we lost game after game after game to losing teams that we were favored to beat in said 3 games and struck out a bazillion times and squandered multiple opportunities to come out on top and really entrench ourselves as a wild card team. I hope the Red Sox aren't just banking on prior success. I hope they're just thinking about the here and the now, as in we have a great opportunity to level off the series against the Yanks, to get the upper hand for wild card standing, and to just pull out of this tailspin. Just forget about what happened. It was awful. It was ugly. We are coming off the worst loss of the season for the Red Sox, and they had a day off, and you gave Rafaela a mental rest day. Now it's time for him to wake up and start hitting again. Now it's time for Jaron Duran to take advantage of that short porch and right and stop yapping at mouthy fans behind home plate. Now it's time for Trevor Story to take a pitch in the clutch when a guy is wild and see if you can work a count in your favor. These are some of the things the Red Sox are going to have to do. Patience, Andy. I know it's hard. You want to pounce. I get it. Be patient, because the Yankees are the better team right now. They're playing better baseball, but they're not seismically better than the Red Sox.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about the Red Sox and the Yankees and this 4-game series that certainly could have massive ramifications in the AL East, in the wild card standings? And that was actually my topic of the day for the poll, the show poll at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. I asked a simple question. How many games do you have faith in the Red Sox winning this weekend in a critical 4-game series with the Yankees? The options, Fitzy, because, again, they limit you to only 4 options. This is a poll where I needed a 5th box of options.
Or a 3-game series.
Or a 3-game series, yes. Sure. But for this 4-game series, I said 0 or 1 games. So you get swept, or maybe you just steal 1. 2 games, 3 games, or 4 games. Fitzy, what do you think is leading right now in terms of the confidence level, faith of Red Sox Nation? How many games are going to be won in this series?
There seems to be more confidence online than not. I'm going to go with 2 games, but not like by a ton.
2 games, 52% of fans believe the Red Sox. They have faith that the Red Sox will win 2 games. More optimistic than I expected, coming off, as you said, maybe the worst loss of the season, maybe the worst series of the season. Ugh. Horrific little stretch here recently. Second is 0 or 1, which is at 21%. That's actually had an uptick. And then three games is 19%, and only 8% think they're going to sweep the Yankees. But I will take
it. 8% drinking, jeez.
Optimistically, 52%, you add it, that's 71%. 79% think they're either going to split or win the series. That surprises me. That's a relatively optimistic view for August coming out of that O's series under Alex Cora against the Yankees on the road. Should also throw that in there. Boston Red Sox, 41-25 at home. On the road, they're 27-34. So you going on the road, and yet Red Sox fans seem to have confidence. What do you think that comes from?
I honestly blind faith because they're 5-1 against booze,
beer muscles,
beef eaters, Hendrix, Tito's. We don't judge. I think it's just because they've been the better team against them this year, and people are probably I would bet the large part of Red Sox Nation that listen online here to the Red Sox Radio Network probably haven't caught up on the fact that the Yankees are on fuego right about now. They're probably thinking, yeah, I saw them after the trade deadline. They couldn't get their ass out of their bullpen. They stink. No, they're playing good baseball right now. And what would make the Yankees feel better about themselves, not only heading towards the postseason, but potentially even challenging the Blue Jays for the seat that they occupied for close to half the season, that being the Catbird, first place in the AL East, then by stomping the Red Sox. I mean, this could be a nice little series to get us back into the is New York and Boston a thing again, because it really hasn't felt that way for a while.
We do mention the power of late for the Yankees and the little surge they're on. They've won 5 games in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. But we did have one texter, the 207, said, pump the brakes on the 14 home runs. They played at a, quote, field, unquote, that plays like more of a bandbox than even their own little wiffle ball field. 89-mile-an-hour exit velocity was getting out of their hard hit, question mark. So, yeah, they were at Steinbrenner Field playing the Rays, which I did hear I think it was Lou Maloney raving about how much a better experience it is playing the Rays down at Steinbrenner Field with 10,000 people there. It's like an actual baseball environment and crowd.
Oh,
but yes,
God.
they played at a spring training minor league facility and hit 14 home runs. Mm-hmm. But if you want to poo-poo the power of Judge and Stanton,
whatever,
feel free. I am not going to poo-poo the power. I am going to focus on the fact that those two guys are two of the more prolific power hitters of the last generation who can absolutely scare people. And I don't know that you can say the Red Sox pitching staff scares anyone other than Crochet. Is that fair to say?
He doesn't scare the Yankees, even though he had, I would say, his best pitching outing of the season was against the Rays, right? The game leading right up to the All-Star break. But there was that Friday night, the Red Sox ended up winning 2-1. Don't forget, dominated Judge all game long. I think he'd only given up a handful of hits tops. Looked like he's going for a complete game shutout. And then in the ninth inning, Aaron Judge hit one to Alston.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is good. We may do a little snake draft later. We were talking about this pre-show where we do the NBA-style matchup series draft and pick players from each team to kind of figure out who has the advantage. I don't want to give anything away because I don't even know who's picking or who has the first pick. Pretty sure Aaron Judge would be the number one overall pick if you picked a player in this series and he wears pinstripes. You're right. You never know. I mean, I guess we could talk ourselves into... Yes, Dan Ball.
So who's number two? I want to know from Fitzy, because we were discussing this in the back. Who's the second pick in that hypothetical draft?
Oh, who's the second pick in a Yankees-Red Sox snake draft?
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Garrett Crochet.
Okay. Over a guy like a Roman Anthony or somebody else in that category?
Because I think he's going to deliver the most wins consistently in the series, yes.
Oh, wait. Were we just drafting it for the series, or was this a general thing? I may not have,
understood
the assignment, as they say.
Put it this way. I think Garrett Crochet would be the most impactful possible pitcher, arm, batter, et cetera, that you could draft. Aaron Judge goes first overall, no doubt, hands down, no brainer. But after that, I would take Crochet over Roman Anthony, who hasn't really been thrust too heavily into the fires of Red Sox-Yankees in the rivalry, and even Max Fried, who's struggled a bit lately.
Yeah, if it's just for the series, then I would lean towards the pitcher, a guy like Crochet, because you can almost single-handedly win a game. I mean, you can single-handedly win a game. You can go out there and pitch 9 innings, get a complete game, or pitch 8 innings and then hand it over to Chapman, and you've won a baseball game in a key series. So in a series, if it were a bigger picture question and it were more about sort of longer term, I think I would go Roman Anthony over Crochet because I'm scared to death of pitchers. Whereas Roman Anthony, I am preparing to root for Roman Anthony as a Boston Red Sox for next, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 years and expect him to be a centerpiece player in this rivalry. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Sox? How you feeling about the matchup with the Yankees? Dan Ball, your hand is up. Yes.
Yes, it is, because we have trending coming up and we have a bit of breaking Red Sox news that we will break in our trending report.
Ooh. Breaking news in trending. We'll react to it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Our breaking news related to the Boston Red Sox. Tommy Castle, who covers the Worcester Red Sox, says the following on Twitter. Looks like Justinson Garcia, known as the password, is getting the call up to the Red Sox. He's getting congratulated by players and clearing out his locker. 2 minutes later, tweeted, can confirm that the password is on his way to New York to join the Boston Red Sox.
Let's go!
Breaking Red Sox news heading into a series of the season for the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox, meanwhile, open up a four-game series in the Bronx against the Yankees tonight. First pitch at 7:15. Lucas Giolito will start for Boston opposite Luis Heelan. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:15, and Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call of tonight's game. One other roster move from today, the Red Sox designated infielder Abraham Toro for assignment. David Hamilton has been recalled from AAA. The Patriots play their final preseason game tonight at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. The game will be broadcast on Amazon Prime. Both teams are 2-0 to this point in the preseason. And new within the hour, Jordan Schultz reports that Patriots wide receiver Jalen Polk will miss the entire 2025 season due to a shoulder injury that requires surgery. The 2024 second-round pick saw multiple specialists, and surgery was determined to be the best course of action. And finally, 57-year-old Quentin Marcellus Brown, the father of Celtic star Jaylen Brown, has been arrested for attempted murder after allegedly stabbing someone in a dispute over a parking spot. The 20-pounds summer slim down with Awaken 180 weight loss. Drop 20 pounds before summer ends and cruise into fall lighter, healthier, and happier. Do what Andy, Ted, Scheim, and Bradfoe did. Find your results at Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. And now with this week's Woo Sox report, here is Nick Fitzy-Stevens.
Well, you already heard about the good news regarding the password, everybody. The Red Sox are making significant minor league moves. The password on his way up to join the big league squad in the four-game series against the Yankees. Also lately with your Worcester Red Sox. Unfortunately, the bad news is that pitcher Cooper Criswell, as well as infielder Vaughn Grissom, will both be placed on the injured list. Criswell is dealing with right elbow inflammation, so no miraculous seven-inning starts in front of Andy Hart coming up in his future, while Grissom, who we've wondered will he come up to the major league team and play second base anytime soon, is dealing with right foot inflammation. But there's also good news in the land of Woo Sox. As a pitcher we have speculated upon coming to join the team as a late-season power addition, Peyton Tolley, all 6'6", 250 mustachioed unit of him, had a great start recently, 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, and 0 runs allowed. So more good news than not coming out of Worcester these days for your Boston Red Sox. This latest edition of the Woo Sox Report here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Central Mass Out of the Darkness Walk to Fight Suicide. That takes place Saturday, September 27th at Polar Park in Worcester. More WEEI Afternoons, including our reaction to the breaking news, the passwords headed to the big league squad, coming up after this.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
WEEI Afternoons, and this is Nick Fitzy Stevens' feelings right now, heading into the Yankees series. I also need to take a little pat on my own back here, as I like to do. I picked this rejoiner, and I don't think Stiz knew this song.
I did not.
And it's a relative. Who sings it?
Doji.
It's a popular song that I was aware of, and Stiz wasn't. And when that happens, I need to note it, because it's few and far between.
Wait, Doji is the name of the artist?
Yeah.
But it's, I can hear in the background, call me crazy, Stiz. Do they sample Gautier's
Yes.
Now You're Just Somebody I Used to Know?
Yep. Oh, you know who did that too? My man Stiz Grimey.
That's right.
And it was better than this.
It definitely was.
Okay.
I love that song.
Enough victory laps for all of us, but that was anxiety because that's what Fitzy is feeling. But Fitzy, we had some great news during trending. The password, Justinkson Garcia is how I'm saying it. I'm not sure if it's right. We'll just call him the password. Called up. To the Boston Red Sox. I don't believe, Dan Ball, we've had a corresponding move just yet.
Nothing yet.
If you're wondering who the password is, you may have heard of him, but you're not sure, like, what exactly? Well, he leads the Woo Sox in home runs, RBIs, mm-hmm. average, mm-hmm. Second in on-base percentage or somewhere therein. He has been killing it in Worcester, and he gets brought up, which I love because it's another youth movement, exciting young player. I love all of that, but my immediate reaction was, what exactly is this all about? What does it tie into? Is this a Yoshida-related move? Are they, like me, kind of sick of seeing Yoshida play? Is it a move related to our buddy from the Jimmy Fund-telethon, Willier Abreu? Is his calf injury a little worse than we first thought? Is he going to miss extended time? Because I feel like there has to be, other than just young player killing it in Worcester, there has to be another reason why this is happening right now. So any
can't
speculation?
Can't just be because they're acknowledging that there's been a power outage recently and they need an injection of youth life.
And there it is. Sorry to interrupt. Apparently, our guy Willier Abreu going to the IL. Chris Cotillo on that first. I kind of figured, although, was he limping when he was coming
no.
out of Jimmy Fund set with us?
Looked fine.
Yeah, and we're doctors. He looked fine. I don't know what this is all about. Tough it up, buttercup. No, this is interesting. And I'm guessing, do we think Garcia could be in New York for tonight? If he was in Worcester, congratulations. That's going to be a quick
turnaround.
Can
you make it from Worcester? That's like a 2.5-hour ride.
Well, there's traffic and there's actually,
I know.
Getting your stuff
get in the
first.
Mirabelli Express, damn it.
So I don't know if he'll be available or in the lineup tonight at all. But, so if you just joining us, Justinkson Garcia, the password, has been called up because Willier Abreu has been placed on the IL. I think this is a good thing. Like, normally you would say, huge series and your gold glove hitter goes on the IL. I don't know. With this team, the youth movement, the vibe, the things they got going on,
this is good.
We talked about Marcelo Meyer being removed in a way from
the youth
movement.
Told you how big an injury that was, Andy.
So now you have another young star developmental player. Also falls in line with our conversation with Craig Breslow at the Jimmy Fund, where he said, we still got a stocked, loaded minor league system where you can bring up a guy like this and people are excited about it. He also joins David Hamilton, who is rejoining the roster.
Oh, so man.
I'm not sure people get as excited.
Gotta get to my David Hamilton props later.
I do feel like I'm the only one who likes David Hamilton. Me and Alex Cora.
Yep.
We're like the only two people that think he can contribute and help you. He would have tagged up the other night. He would have scored. I can tell you that much. He would have ran right through some pregame meeting stop sign that they put up hours before, days before.
Can I just sort of say, Andy, as you talk about like youth movement, energy, vibes, etc., like this kid, tell me if you agree on this, but this kid, Justinkson Garcia, the password, he strikes me as the kind of guy that would thrive off of getting like dipped his baptism into Major League Baseball, being a member of Red Sox Nation, is a massive four-game series in late summer on a weekend in the Bronx. I bet you this kid is going to be so fired up. This is just the boost of energy I think this team needs after they flagged and flatlined for 3 days against the Marlins and the Orioles at home during the Jimmy Fund-telethon. I'm sorry Abreu's down because he's got a swing that is tailor-made for Yankee Stadium 2.0, that awful mausoleum in the Bronx. But I love this. I couldn't love this. This is just what the Sox need.
Serious question. What the hell do you base that on?
Just honestly? gut.
Okay, blind faith
vibes.
Because yep. I don't know anything about the password other than he's the password, other than that he has a twin brother, I believe, or a brother who is also
the passkey.
I don't know. I don't think he has
Wi-Fi?
The same nickname.
Great set of hair.
Great set of hair.
Great hair.
Great hair.
Great lettuce.
Great Wait, wouldn't great set mean there's more than one?
Well, there is.
He has more than one hairs.
Yeah, there's different hair on different parts of the body. I don't know how Stiz has seen
all of their
hairs. Why don't
you stick to Chinese Taipei?
Hairs. No, and I wasn't busting your balls, Fitzy. It's just like,
no,
I don't know anything
about
it.
It's a great question. It's a fair question, Andy.
Because we get caught up in this all the time. We see statistics. We see name. We hear buzz. And now, oh, they got to bring up the password. Okay, yeah, he's got 17 home runs at a offense-friendly Polar Park. But his makeup, I have no idea whether he's going to crap himself at Yankee Stadium or be, like, made for this moment in time.
Seems
where he
like
proves
a big personality to me, and I think somebody like that would not cower or just, you know, turtle in this kind of environment, rather, like, thrive when given the opportunity. Also, can we confirm, is this true, Dan Ball, Stats Info, Research, etc., by waiting until today's move, this ensures Password and Abreu are both eligible for the postseason roster?
I will double-check that piece of information. I did want to share that. So it's his younger brother. His name is Johanfren, and they call
Excuse
him
me?
Johanfren.
Okay.
It is a J-O-H-A-N-F-R-A-N. So his parents are just like are trying to confuse everybody. They call him the username.
Oh, the username and the password.
Yeah.
Well, the password's more important. You can see the username, but the password is what gets you in,
The
right?
password is Red Sox sweep the Yankees.
Thanks, Brez. I will say, there is a little bit of me, Fitzy. The one thing that I would buy into, not knowing a lot about the password's makeup, my favorite song of all time may be A Boy Named Sue. And I think if you grow up with a name like that, you have to grow a certain personality, thick skin. Like, you have to be used to people questioning your name or making a big deal about your name or maybe even some making fun of your name.
A Johnny Cash song is your favorite song of all time?
I think A Boy Named Sue is my favorite song of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bust your chops for years over your musical or lack of musical acumen. I got to say, like, picking a Johnny Cash song as a favorite song of all time is pretty elite.
Also, pretty impressive that in this segment I picked the rejoin that Stiz had never heard of, and I talked about Johnny Cash.
All right, calm down.
Shows the diversity, but this feels like it could inject, I agree with you, Fitzy, a little bit of extra life into Red Sox Nation. I know Ted won't really acknowledge this because he still wants to give all the praise to the Stories and the Bregmans of the world. I trend more towards the Rafaela. Let's get him back in center field where he's a better hitter. I trend toward Roman Anthony, who might be the second best on-field player in this series. And if you add another guy that, you're right, Fitzy, if he hits a home run or something and he's putting the Wally hat on, the helmet on, and they're celebrating, that's what I'm talking about. I think energy is going to matter in this series. This is not a business-like approach series with the Yankees. This is a dogfight. You know, this isn't an exhibition. This is a damn fight. And I think the energy those guys can help bring to this clubhouse and to this matchup, I think there could be value in that. I may be full of crap. We may be homers. We may be playing the homer side of the aisle here. But whatever. I think that can matter.
You're talking to the same guy that agrees 100% that having somebody come in, this is somebody who didn't strike out the other night. This is somebody who didn't feel like he let the fans down over those three games. This is someone who wasn't sure what to say after Jaren Duran said F-U-P-word the other night, allegedly to a fan after a difficult clutch strikeout. This is somebody who carries no weight, no baggage, no issues, no melodrama, nothing except excitement and heightened expectations. Just think of it. He's literally going to, like, hop in a car or a train, I don't know, charter a private flight from that little airport in Worcester down to Westchester or where Teterboro or something like that. Get in, get to the stadium, and either like start tonight or be available. And what are you going to do? Where was your first game? Oh, nothing. Just Sox Yankees on a Thursday night in late summer with like playoff seating on the line and bragging rights for the rivalry in the series. Like, hell yes. I think he's going to thrive. I hope it's contagious.
Yes, Dan Ball.
I also wonder if he might factor into the first base picture.
Ooh, I like that idea.
He's been taking drills. He only played one, count him, one game in AAA at first base. But he's a right-handed hitter, so now you have Nate Lowe as your left-handed first baseman. You have the password as your right-handed, and it doesn't gum up the works in the outfield any more than you already have. Just an interesting extra kind of element to all.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a bit much. The guy that's played the position wants to just throw him out there, but this team has done things that I feel like a bit much all year long, so why stop now? Maybe that's just who you are. Fly by the seat of your pants with the password.
If it keeps him here for the longer term, then maybe you give him a shot over there. And how much, honestly, guys, how much worse could it be than what we've seen so far this year?
You're right.
I think Lowe is going to be playing a lot of first base going forward, you guys.
No, I do too, but I think it's going to be a platoon situation. You need the right-handed opposite, and if that can be the password. Now, he also has to hit. I know we've gotten a little greedy around here because Roman Anthony and company come up and they look like they fit right in and they're professionals. You know, for all we know, he's going to go 0 for his first 17, and it's going to be a tough transition as it is for so many players. 617-779-7937. Reacting to this Red Sox-Yankees series as well as the breaking news that the password, Jostinson Garcia, has been called up. Willy Abreu put on the IL. Let's go to the phone line. 617-779-7937. Matt in Rhode Island, what are your thoughts on this series, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Hart. I bust your chops on the text line, but in all seriousness, I read an article about your son in the Dartmouth Times, and congratulations to you and your family on that. And if you'll be at the roadie game, I'm going to be there. So if you're going to be there, I'll find you.
All right,
beers
I'll
on Andy.
I'll look for you. Beers are on
okay,
Matt.
So yeah, definitely not. But the password, he's a big kid. You'll be surprised if you see him for the first time. He's a big kid, powerful kid, doesn't run that well, but hopefully he gets a taste of the big leagues and likes it. As far as the Red Sox, Fitzy said it was not much energy going on those last three games at Fenway. They have brought their A game to the best teams in the league, but when you're looking at the rest of the schedule, you got teams like the Marlins and the Orioles, like. You know, sometimes those teams can be the most dangerous because they're just free swinging and they're playing with no pressure. But yeah, 4-game series, huge. I think they take this one tonight. Giulio gets back to pitching well. Gill has not pitched a lot, so I'm hoping that will be the difference. Thanks
for the call, Matt.
Good call. Sorry
to cut you off a slight there. Thanks for the kind words. So the height and weight listed for Jostinson Garcia.
Yeah, he's a bit of a unit, isn't he?
I don't know. It says 6'1", 163. That doesn't seem large.
If he's 163, then I'm Sean Bradley and you're
okay, I can look for
Victor
another
Wembanyama.
Maybe that was like his draft height and weight. Dan Ball can effort to get you an updated height and weight on the password, but we know that he has updated his status to Major League Baseball player. No longer is he a member of the Worcester Red Sox. He's moving on to Boston and New York for this big series. How are you feeling about this series? You got anxiety like Fitzy, or are you feeling confident like some of us that, you know what? I say it. They're going to win three games. They're going to win three games in this series. They're going to right the ship. The young guys are going to get the job done. The pitching is going to be good enough. This is going to be a fun series.
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Nope. I have optimism. The RMV made me this way. 617-779-7937. Up next, we'll continue to talk about the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. We also need to do a quick preview. The Patriots play tonight in New York against Jackson Dart and the Giants. Baseball and football up next here on WWE.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
EEI Afternoons. That was Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. Getting teammates and even announcers like Lou Maloney, potty mouth Lou Maloney, had to get bleeped to try to spell the password's first name. Should I give it away? Do we want to... Fitzy, you want a shot at it before I give you the real spelling? Give me. Let's go, Fitzy.
No, give it to the crowd.
Come on,
I've got it right
up.
in front of my face. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. You were reading. Jostynxon. That is Jostinson Garcia, the password, latest call-up for the Boston Red Sox. And Dan Ball, I was just reading a story, sort of speculating, because despite limited at-bats against lefties,
and bad lefties, because we know they tell you if you can pitch, you are not a lefty in AAA. That's just how it is. But very high OPS numbers, some speculation that he could face a lot of lefties and maybe at the cost of some Jaren Duran games against lefties because of some of his struggles against lefties. But he's in the mix wherever it is. First base, platoon first baseman, platoon outfielder, everyday outfielder, rotation as just part of the mix. I don't know, but it's definitely injected some increased excitement into this series and this game tonight and this little stretch run here for this young baseball team, Fitzy.
Are you not going to be more entertained? Are you not going to be more excited to watch this game tonight? And as is, it's already a big Boston Sports Thursday. I'll have the old double YouTube TV or whatever the hell it is, picture and picture shared screen action going on, laptop, phone, the whole shebang. You'll probably have multiple TVs and the Hart Foundation going on at the same time. Everyone should be more excited. On the season, first off, you mentioned Bradfoe, who had that little audio coming in from the break. I think we have Bradfoe today at 4:30, yes?
Yes, 4:30, okay. Bradfoe. 3:30, Tom Curran. We'll do a lot of previewing of the Patriots-Giants preseason finale.
Yep, I'm looking forward to Phil Perry's preview via Tom Curran. That's going to be a lot of fun. Just kidding.
At what point does Tom get mad at that and start getting angry with Fitzy?
Yeah, we're already wrong-headed radio. We're already pretty far down.
Come on, we're just having a little fun. He's the one who admits the fact that Phil is, like, out there working his ass off. This kid on the season, 25 home runs, 289 average, 73 ribeyes. Like, that's good. That's good enough to call up. Like,
oh, he's
whether
been great.
Or not it was Willie or Abreu, like, it was time. Like,
he's
you
been
couldn't
great.
Keep this kid.
August has been prospect. Awesome. Worcester has been awesome. He earned the elevation to Worcester. Like, he has fast-tracked himself to the big leagues, and I am here for it, as the kids say. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Nick in the car. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, Fitzy, you had a point there that I really like saying that this kid, it could be contagious. Listen, I don't have anything scientific here. I know correlation isn't causation, but I'm pretty sure Giolito didn't start his first hot streak of the year until Roman Anthony joined the clubhouse, right? We all saw the addition by subtraction that was getting rid of Rafael Devers. So, I mean, I'm with you guys. I don't know anything about this kid other than the name. Like, that he sounds like he is, he seems like he could be, and if he introduces himself to the fans and to the team with some loud contact at Yankee Stadium, I think it could be a pretty good thing. So I'm excited.
Thanks for the call, Nick. All excited.
Look at that. Look at
I don't know if I'm willing to say that. Did he say Roman Anthony is why Giolito got hot? Is that that causation?
When did his winning streak start? He had a 6-game win streak, and wasn't it conveniently timed to about when Roman Anthony was called up?
Yeah, conveniently, coincidentally.
Correlation is not causation.
Circumstantially.
You don't want to chalk that up to not saying, just saying.
I wouldn't want any y'all on a jury saying, like, wow, Roman Anthony came up and you murdered the man. Wait, what? Those do not go together. Yes, Dan Ball.
I will say Roman Anthony came up on June 9th, 2025, in Giolito's first win in that good stretch, June 10th, 2025.
617. Yeah, they're totally unrelated. They're totally unrelated. I don't know why you're yelling O in the background, but they're totally unrelated.
June 9, June 10.
An outfielder who gets on base has nothing to do with a hoss of a pitcher who suddenly gets his ish together. Jason in the Vineyard. What's up, Jason?
Boo. Yeah, so in order to get this series, the pitching really has to show up. You can't come out and walk people. If you start walking people, you're just going to hand the game to them. You got to come out. You got to bring your paintbrush. You need to go Picasso on them, and you need to take their crowd out of it. It's the same in Boston. If the crowd is into it, it's really hard for the home team to lose. So if you can take the Yankees fans out of it and paint, you got to paint. Can't give it to him over the plate. You're just going to lose.
All right, thanks for the call, Jason. I agree that emotion, momentum will play a role in this series. The one thing I don't agree with, I think it's hard to turn the Fenway crowd on the Red Sox. I think you can turn the Yankee Stadium crowd on the Yankees, and you got to try to do that. Get a lead, jump, put some pressure on them. Maybe Boone gets ejected. That would be a good bet in this series, a prop bet. One of the managers to get ejected, because they both like to get their asses ejected. Or, well, Alex tells us he doesn't like to do it. It just tends to happen to him.
Dave Dombrowski told him that he can't back in 2018. I don't know if you heard that.
And ever since Dombrowski told him that, his ejections have been on the rise to a career high this year. So, whatever. 617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Let's go to Avery in the car. What's up, Avery?
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm excited about the password getting called up. I feel like it can make a big impact this weekend. We're facing a couple lefties, and, yeah, I just hope they don't demote him when Russ Snyder and Willier come back, because you don't want to play with prospects up and down like that.
All right, thanks for the call, Avery. Yeah, I agree. I don't think you want to jerk this guy around, but I think they've been very careful not to do that for the most part. They jerk guys around position-wise and lineup-wise, but not necessarily up and down the ranks-wise. So, yes, Dan Ball.
And you do have Nady and David Hamilton. Sorry to disparage your guy, but you do have two guys who should be demotion candidates before him.
Could be. Depends what you're looking for. You looking for a speedster?
I'm looking for good baseball players on my baseball team.
Hey, everybody needs a good fast player. You don't need two of them is what I would say. You could probably get rid of one of those
guys.
You know who's the one person in charge of the password being kept on the major league roster versus being demoted back down to Worcester? The password. Give them a reason not to be able to send you down. Hit the ball. Make some plays. Bring some excitement. You know, start another pitcher on a winning streak just because you get called up. That's what I'm talking about.
Sounds like sound logic, and we'll have more sound logic with Ted Johnson joining the show next. It's time for the three-point stance. We also may have to throw Justinkson at Ted Johnson, see if he can spell the password's first name. It's the game of the day here on WEEI Afternoons. Three-point stance up next.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.